The Lord Jesus Christ is like a second Moses. When Moses set up the nation of Israel as a theocracy and the Mount Sinai, you know, the nation of Israel stayed at Mount Sinai for a year. Why? He was setting that nation up to be a nation distinct from all other nations of the world. He's setting it up as a theocracy. That God would be the king and God would give the laws. Wouldn't that be good in Canberra, eh? God was actually dwelling there and that he's actually making the laws. Now that's Israel's privilege. Great privilege, great responsibility. Responsibility failed, great judgment. The Jewish people even today, bless their hearts, say, why are we going through so much suffering? Why us? Oh, they had a great blessing given to them. With bylaws written in of what would happen if they didn't follow these laws. And sometimes there's some Jewish pride. You know, some of the Jewish writings go like this. God visited all the nations of the world and offered them the Ten Commandments. But no one would have it. And we accepted it. And that's why we've got all the troubles. This is in unbelief. No, the Lord Jesus, God, chose the nation of Israel. He loved them. And he still loves them. And will do great and mighty things through them, even yet, amongst the nations of the world. So here we have this law being given by the Lord Jesus Christ. You see in Isaiah chapter 2 it says the mountain of the Lord's house is going to be elevated there in the land of Israel. There's going to be a geographical and a topographical change in the nation of Israel, the land of Israel. And there's going to be an elevation of that mountain. And in Isaiah 2 there's going to be the house of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. And his glory is going to return, Ezekiel chapter 43. And then all the nations of the world will stream to that city. Stream to that city. Why? Those of you who know Isaiah chapter 2, why? Why will all the nations stream to that city?
The glory of the Lord will be there.
The glory of the Lord will be there. Yes, I see the glory of the Lord. Good answer. What else? Go on, let's read it, eh? Let's have a look at it. Isaiah chapter 2. The law of the Lord is going to go out there. The nations are going to get directions of how to worship and how to serve and how to run their countries. Russia is going to learn how to live a Christian Bible-believing country. Australia is going to be there. And America. All the nations of the world will stream there. And all the kings of the earth will bring their glory to Jerusalem. You don't believe me, do you? I don't hear too many amens and hallelujahs. I know you do, yes. Isaiah 2:1, which reads, "And the word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter years that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountain, and he shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it." So whatever nationality you are, they will flow to Jerusalem. They will be saved. "Many people shall come and say, 'Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways. We shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people, swords and plowshares, etc., etc." That's what's going to happen, you see. So Jesus, the lawgiver, will be there on that day. Sermon on the Mount is a prelude. Prelude, because not everyone in the millennial and Messianic kingdom will be born again. There's children who are going to be born. And if they do not submit to Christ after 100 years, and they will be a child at 100 years, they're removed off the planet. He reigns and rules with a rod of iron, but also with his grace and mercy. So here we have the sick being healed, the ministry of the Lord, the rule of the Lord in his kingdom message. And then in the ninth chapter, and we'll just deal with this briefly now, in the ninth chapter we have what we could call the messianic evidences or qualifications of the Lord Jesus. May I say first and foremost, and this is not critical of anyone, we know that there are lovely instances of the Lord's grace and so on. What Matthew is trying to do is trying to show that the Lord Jesus Christ is qualified. He is the man. He is qualified to bring salvation. He is qualified to deal with the ills of the world. He's qualified to deal with sin. He's qualified to deal with sickness. He's qualified to deal with wars. He's qualified to get the nations together. That's why he's coming back, king over all kings, lord over all lords. He has to be shown, and he is, he has to be shown that he is that deliverer, restorer that Adam lost way back there in the garden. Now chapters 8, 9 and 10, are the works chapters in Matthew. Matthew's got a plan. First of all, he introduces the Lord Jesus Christ in those earlier chapters. 5 through 7, he gives the teachings regarding the kingdom. 5, 6 and 7, all words, the Sermon on the Mount. Then 8, 9 and 10, all the works of the Lord Jesus Christ by and large are all gathered together and listed, not necessarily chronologically, but to show that he can solve every problem and he can come and rule the world. As the Israel, Messiah of Israel, Savior of the world. So here in chapter 9, I've just listed, and we'll just draw them to your attention, messianic qualifications evidenced. The power chapter. And here are significant verses regarding this. In Matthew 9:6, we read, and now notes, you King James, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. He previously said, your sins are forgiven. Then the next one, Matthew 9:8. Now when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, who had given such power to men. In both of those verses in this chapter, power. Power and authority. So in Matthew 9, we can't discuss them, but in Matthew 9 we find that Matthew lists all the power and authority that the Lord Jesus Christ has in every realm of humanity representatively. It's not just a matter of saving me from my sin and whisking me off to heaven. Praise God, that's part of the program. I'm involved with the Lord Jesus Christ who's coming back and who's taking over. And the earth will be covered with the glory of the Lord like the waters cover the sea. I've told you about my communist friend at work, my communist friends where I used to work in laboratories. They used to say to me, Ron, the meek don't inherit the earth. Yeah, Jesus said that. The meek will inherit. It's the strong that will inherit the earth. They mean we're going to take over. I said, well, you can have it at the moment. It's a mess. You can have it. You won't make it any better. But I said, very soon, I'm coming back with the Lord Jesus Christ and we're taking over. And that's what the Lord Jesus is doing, you see. He is showing that he is able to do all of this as a man and as God.